Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live in his car once again, driving back from Purdue's 81-62 win over Nebraska in Mackey Arena. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast brought to you by Phillips Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. I'm getting really good at that after having done this 10, 12 times, whatever it's been. Anyway, Purdue is getting really good at winning games. As you know, this is their 8th straight win. The last couple were a little bit dicey at times. Penn State, Purdue needed overtime. Minnesota obviously had to come. Purdue had to come back from 13 down with 14 minutes to go. This one, you know, was competitive, a lot closer than the final margin suggested. This was a 9-point game with 3 minutes to go still. Purdue made all its free throws, closed the game out. And that kind of brings to mind sort of the concept of winning and what all goes into it. And what you're seeing from Purdue lately is everything it needs to do to win basketball games whenever it needs to do it, whether it be timely play, whether it be things that simply give you a chance to win, namely maybe the single best thing Purdue is doing during this winning streak, which is not turning the ball over. Purdue's making its free throws. I will admit, going back to November, how big of a concern I know I thought it was. The logic was very sound that this would be a team that could really struggle to close out wins because of its track record at the foul line at some of its most important positions. Obviously, there were no concerns with Carson Edwards. He's a great foul shooter. The ball was going to be in his hands a lot. But with Nojel Eastern becoming Purdue's primary point guard, Matt Harms becoming its primary center, those are two of your more fouled positions in close games. And Purdue has been great at the foul line in important situations. And they're 18 of 20 in the second half in this game. I think that's a credit not only to the guys who made the free throws, but to the guys who got Purdue in that position, namely Carson Edwards. You're seeing the benefits of the pressure he puts on defenses materialize in him drawing 7 fouls in this game, very similar to what Purdue used to have with Isaac Haas, where he would pile fouls on people, and then Purdue would get to the foul line sooner, get a lot of cheap offense when they were hard enough to guard in the first place. And I think that's kind of the model you saw with Carson Edwards tonight. Obviously, you could not have a more different player from Isaac Haas than Carson Edwards, but I think it was kind of the same effect, sort of reflecting the ultimate pressure that Carson Edwards puts on people and how Purdue has been able to leverage that, both in terms of offense for other people, but also tonight at the foul line. I thought this was a really, really good all-around game from Carson Edwards. You know, he gets 27 points, and we all kind of shrug our shoulders because that's just kind of the expectation for him. It's the expectation for opponents, too. They come into games kind of penciling him in for 25 to 30 points, probably. It's just a matter of how he gets them that really makes the difference in games. And how he got them tonight on 8 of 16 shooting, which is very efficient, obviously. Anything 50% or higher is very good, if you ask me, especially for a volume shooter like Carson Edwards, a guy who's going to take a lot of jumpers, a guy who's going to take a lot of contested shots at the rim, a guy who's going to take his chances every now and then. 8 of 16 is very good, obviously. But also, this was a great passing game for him. I thought his assist total of only 2 was kind of deceiving. I thought he did a much better job in that. Not that assists are the end-all, be-all of everything, but I thought he did a good job in that sense. Didn't turn the ball over. When you're 8 of 16 from the floor as a high-volume shooter and you don't turn the ball over, That's a pretty good game. But he was really good as a passer in this game, too. But also Purdue's closer again. I think he had 9 of his points in those final 3 minutes. While this game was still within reach for Nebraska, it would have been unlikely for them to come back from 9 down with 3 minutes to go. But it would not be unprecedented in college basketball. And the way they were shooting threes, another outlier shooting game for an opponent against Purdue, which I guess has become the norm. I guess it's not an outlier shooting game when it happens against the opponent. It always happens against. But Nebraska was shooting in a way that I'm not sure 9 points with 3 minutes to go is outside the realm of possibility. But Carson Edwards made it outside the realm of possibility because he put the game away for Purdue both at the foul line and he had an additional bucket too. Again, 9 of his points came in the final 3 minutes to sort of slam the door shut. The reason Purdue was in position to slam the door shut, there were a lot of them, actually. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know why this game was as close as it was when you look at the box score. And this was basically a tie game at halftime, essentially. When you look at the box score, there was no real huge advantage Nebraska had. They got to the foul line more in the first half. They made some threes. But this was a game Purdue stacked up in relatively well from the get-go. They shot 59% in the second half, but it was close at halftime again. And, you know, Purdue, the real difference in this game, to be honest with you, as much as Carson Edwards contributed to this, this game was won with the 14-2 run Purdue had at the start of the second half. And the difference maker in that stretch of play was really Grady Eifert. You know, the little things he brings to the table have been so important for Purdue during this winning streak, during this season in general. But it wasn't just the little things in this game. It was the big things, too. He ends up with a career-high 16 points, a bunch of free throws late, a big three during Purdue's run. But also during that run, the 14-2 run, I think he directly accounted for 7 of the points, because the first 2 came off of an offensive rebound he got. 2 more came off a steal he generated for a dunk for Nojel Eastern, and then he made a 3 himself. So that's half of the 14-2 run right there he had a hand in. And he finishes the game with 16 points, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, a couple of assists, didn't miss a shot of any kind, 4-for-4 from the floor, 2-for-2 from 3, 6-for-6 from the foul line. That is a pretty good day. This is one of the most efficient offensive players in college basketball. He has one of the highest offensive ratings in college basketball on the lowest usage rate on Purdue's team. So that tells you that when Grady Eifert does something, more often than not, it's a very positive thing for Purdue, and he did a lot of it tonight. Just a guy who, again, is arguably maybe the best role player Matt Painter's ever had. And I'm not really sure who else I'd even put in that conversation, because we can have a long extended discussion about what exactly a quote-unquote role player is, but I know it when I see it, and Grady Eifert is a role player, and he is an elite role player this season for Purdue. He has really made a difference for them all season long. He has been one of the biggest contributors to this 8-game season transforming winning streak that Purdue is on, headed to Maryland on Tuesday night. And he is just having a great season in his role, and that is an important distinction to make. He's having a great season in his role, but he had a great game tonight in any role. And he was a big part of this Purdue win. So was Nojel Eastern. You know, as I said in my little written analysis on the site, that when a point guard gets 10 rebounds, you're usually surprised. With him, it's just become sort of the expectation, just like the 27 from Carson Edwards. This is 4 of the last 6 games now that Purdue's point guard has gotten double-digit rebounds, and that is a huge difference maker for Purdue in an element of the game that's a really important key, and one that Purdue is not promised success in. Purdue has to be, you know, I'll pull out every cliche possible here, has to be dialed in, has to be locked in, has to be laser-focused on, and that's the defensive glass, because that's something when Purdue has shown vulnerabilities, that's been part of it. And to have a gigantic advantage, figuratively and literally, in an element of the game where you don't normally expect productivity, that is a big difference maker for Purdue as well. But that's not all Nojel Eastern's been about lately. He's been just a guy who's affecting games for the better for Purdue in so many different ways. Just a player who's really emerging as a winner as much as anything. Just somebody who's going to give you a little bit of everything on every single night. He goes out and gets 12 points for Purdue. Really kind of looking for his offense more than normal. I think there were probably some opportunities there. They weren't really guarding his jump shot. They gave him some opportunities to get to the basket. And he took him up on it a few times. There were a couple offensive fouls, but I think Purdue will trade a couple of dead ball turnovers for the aggressiveness that also got them 12 points at a Nojel Eastern too. So a great all-around game for him, and, you know, really a great all-around game for Purdue. Again, Purdue when it has had to come up with its best basketball in these games. It has been able to do that, and that's another sign of a winning team. Not just a team that's winning, but a winning team, a group of winners, somebody who can do what they have to do in any given situation to get the end result that they want. And that's exactly what Purdue's been doing for the better part of a month and a half here. And they'll have a huge test on their hands Tuesday night at Maryland. That's a game that maybe the last game left on the schedule that Purdue may not be a favorite in. I don't know. I don't know what the line is. I just know that Maryland is really good. Winning there is really hard. Purdue's been able to do it a few times, but they've had to play really well to do it, and they've had to get some breaks to do it as well. The Under Armour balls also are no fun for a team that relies on jump shooting as much as Purdue does. So we'll see what happens Tuesday night at Maryland. If Purdue can get that one, they're sitting pretty here the rest of the way, because then you're sitting here looking at going to Indiana and going to Minnesota as your two toughest games standing between you and a Big Ten championship. And when you compare that to what everybody else has to worry about, that's a pretty damn favorable path. So we'll see what they're able to do Tuesday night. Really big game for Purdue. They put themselves in a great spot, though, here with this 8-game winning streak. So that's what I got from Purdue's 81-62 win over Nebraska in Mackey Arena. This has been your GoldenBlack.com post-game podcast, brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, the East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So we'll talk to you again Tuesday night from the Washington, D.C. /Baltimore area, wherever I happen to be when I do this. But we will talk to you then after Purdue's game at Maryland. So thanks for listening, everybody.